You're listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Dan Hill.
And I'm Jenny Hill.
Let's get it started. Episode 31. We got one more. State of Need, air date May 12th, 1993. Didn't feel like there's one more episode left in this one.
Yeah, it
wasn't
really,
as hard.
It's not really building up to a huge climax. I think we can all see where this is going.
Yeah, it's like TV now versus TV then. It, like, this episode would have been like major. Ready for like a big
reveal.
Yeah, like some sort of thing. It's just strange to me.
Kind of a letdown. I mean, if we're looking back on the two last episodes that had a lot of like explosive plot lines in
like
them.
Carpe
Diem was before Pas de Trois.
Carpe Diem, our last podcast, could have been a finale.
I agree.
Like just seeing Allison, damn it. We're already at it.
Better drink.
Allison and Billy do it, and then Michael and Jane break up. That would have been a good finale.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. But, you know, we're in the hands of Darren Star, hoping that he's going to guide us to a drama-filled season finale next episode.
The finale that is only Rhonda and Matt.
Well, let's get into this episode. We open it up with Allison and Billy riding back from Palm Springs together on that broke-ass motorcycle. It's Monday morning.
Yeah, and how did Allison get to the retreat?
She took a bus, remember? Lucy was like, come to work tonight, meet us on the bus. We're taking the bus down to the retreat.
I see. Yeah, because I was like, did she just leave her car there? They made sure to show her car in the opening.
Well, yeah, and that's the one thing. Allison always gets, like, the primo parking spot in right in front of Melrose Place.
Well, she always pays her rent to Mr. K.
He doesn't have street parking rights.
He might.
Well, anyway, they roll up, they get off the motorcycle, and, you know, they're very lovey-dovey, very excited about what had transpired over the weekend.
Just smitten.
And then they start smooching and making out, and Amanda's like, oh, crap, Alex!
Drink!
Drink!
By the way, we're not drinking. We don't. We, like, don't drink during the week. But
you can. We invite you to. So Allison is very uncomfortable that Billy is kissing her in broad daylight. She's like, stop, someone will see, stop. And somebody does see.
My main man, Jake, he rolls up and they're like, aren't you going to ask how the weekend was? And he's like, well, I can already tell. Give me my broken bike. I got to take it back to the shop.
So
give me my broken bike that worked perfectly 3 hours to and from. 3 hours each way to and from Palm Springs.
I wouldn't say perfectly, because remember he was having trouble getting it
started. Yeah, just a little starter problem, but other than that, good to go.
Yeah, well, the two lovebirds walk into their apartment, and Allison right off the bat is like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Something's changed. I mean, we made love.
Ugh,
when anybody refers to sex as making love, it makes me want to throw up. I feel like my parents are like sitting me down and being like, making love equals having sex.
We made love.
Oh, God.
And
yuck.
You forgot, Billy was like, what's wrong? Sore lips?
Yeah.
And they're kissing, and she's like, Billy, just stop fucking kissing me. And he's like, come on, what's wrong? Sore lips?
Ew.
Come on, I'm Billy. I get the most sex on this show. Why? Why?
Well, Billy takes charge and he's like, we're going to take it slow. We're going to be discreet. And Allison is like, ooh, I love this take charge Billy attitude.
Yeah, and Billy is just rattling off things that he cannot do. He's like, slow, discreet, charge, responsible.
Well, we'll like, see.
You just can't do it, bro. You can't do it.
So the next scene takes us to the hospital, and Michael Mancini is sleeping in a darkened ER room underneath his lab coat.
Yeah, and it's like he's sleeping on like an operating table. Yeah. There's got to be better.
Well, in the break room, they have beds in there.
Yeah, just go back to the clubhouse, bro. But well, there's got to be better options for doctors at the hospital. And
yeah, it's the break room where their beds are.
Yeah. And Kimberly just like wakes him up. He's like, what? Oh, crap. I got 5 minutes. I got to be in surgery. And I'm like, you're in no shape.
And we're
no
like,
shape, Michael. I don't want you working on anybody.
Why isn't he staying at Kimberly's house?
Yeah, man.
You got found out. It's out in the open. Just live there now.
Well, I guess he's like, well, I got to get my wife back, so I got to shut it all down.
So Kimberly's like, look, you've got to go home. You got to talk to Jane. And Michael says to her, at least I'm not drinking. Wife walks in with another woman, and a lot of guys would go out on a bender. Me, I just sign up for new ER hours.
Oh, you're so...
Oh, boo-hoo, yeah. Michael. You got caught cheating. It's like...
High horse Mancini. Like... At least I'm not drinking. And then he is drinking later. But yeah, so then duty calls. He goes to do something, and then he like goes outside of the hospital, and Jane's just parked out front with like 5 duffel bags, and she's like, "Here's your shit. Don't come back."
He's like, "We need to talk about everything, Jane, please." And she's like, "No, it's over. Don't touch me, and never come near me again."
Boom.
Gets in her car, drives away.
Which is ballsy. Ballsy of Jane to do that. Because, I mean, yeah, she's a designer, but, you know, she got to rely on that doctor money.
I don't know. You find out your husband's cheating on you, it's like peace.
I guess so.
I don't know. So, we're back to Melrose Place, and Joe and her new model friend Karen enter, and Joe's kind of going off like, oh God, I can't believe I've been awake for 28 hours straight. This is crazy. And then Karen notices that there's a pool in the middle of the courtyard, and she's like, wow, you have a pool? Immediately just takes her dress off to reveal, I'm sorry, but it was kind of like granny underwear.
Yeah, she had some granny panty underwears on, and she just like jumps in the pool. She tries to get Joe in at first, but she's a bad influence on Joe.
Yeah.
Just not, you know, she's going to ruin her.
So Karen's in the pool. Jake comes out and he's, you know, kind of oogling Karen in the pool because she is a beautiful supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe tries to tell him about, what had happened over the past 28 hours, that she was in a helicopter and she was taking all these photos and everything was awesome. But Jake seems to be pretty preoccupied with Karen, just looking at her. And then they go into the apartment, presumably to hook up. And
yeah,
then
she's like, here's my keys. Karen, take them. I will see you later. I'm going to go do Jake. Jake's always eating, too. He's always, like, munching on something. He's like, yeah, hi. What's up, guys? See, he's like Bugs Bunny.
Good for him. Well, that takes us back to D&D.
Where Allison gets to work and immediately Scotch tapes a picture of her and Billy on her desk.
Just, I think this is just for Amanda.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just trophy big game hunting for them. They're just like, I got him now. He's mine.
And Amanda's like, so Allison, what happened? I saved a seat for you on the bus last night.
Yeah, Amanda does not seem like the person who would opt for bus.
Yeah.
You know? She'd be like, I'm going there. I'm going my own shit. I got my own car.
Allison responds to her by saying, oh, I actually left with Billy this morning. And then, of course, Amanda seems a little surprised by this because I think, like, Amanda knows what's going on. And she says, I got that note after all, just to, like, rub it in Amanda's face.
Right.
So Amanda's then like, look, I left a message on your machine for Billy last night. I really need to talk to him. And Allison is like, okay, well, I don't really care, Amanda, because that's between you and him. I'm not involved, and so like, I'm sure he'll call you back.
But she says it really snarky, like, he'll get back to you. And that's when Amanda really gets like, oh, damn. She basically understands that, like, Allison is with Billy now. So she has to remove herself from this conversation and, like, take some breaths. And I was thinking, like, uh-oh, something's up.
Yeah.
Something's up.
We'll see what that something is a little bit later.
Now we cut to Melrose Place at night. Jane has now taken over the managerial duties of Michael Mancini. She's got her work boots on. She's digging out of the filters of the pool, just slaving away. And Allison and Joe show up, and they're like, "Jane, what the hell's going on?"
And Jane is just like, "Well, turns out Michael was having an affair. I kicked him out." And Allison, if you're looking for a little congratulations, I'm in no mood.
Right, because she's like, now I have to clean the fucking pool because Mr. K is still on my back.
Gotta please Mr. K.
Gotta please Mr. K. And you know, me and Jenny in our last apartment complex, we were kind of the weekend property managers for a minute.
Okay.
So we were Michael and Jane for a minute.
We were the property managers for maybe 2 to 3 months, and then mm-hmm. we got fired.
Yeah, we got fired, guys. But, like, the deal, we didn't ask for it. We did not ask for
they
it.
They just came to us, and they were like, we'll knock $500 off of your rent each month if you will just be available on the weekends to, like, handle phone calls.
And we were like, done, sign me up. And, like, only, like, a couple times, some people would be like, I lost my keys. And I'd have to, like, let them in. Or one time we were at the movies and we had to leave.
Well, here's the thing. That was some bullshit. No. We were supposed to have been home. They, like, didn't want us going anywhere. They wanted us to be on site there.
Yeah.
But it was the weekends. Yeah, and at man, this point,
I gotta live.
Like, we were in our mid to late 20s, so we were, like, still partying and having fun. So we were like, they don't know if we're there or not. But I think one of our neighbors ratted us out.
Yeah, they're like, they're gone.
They're never there.
Well, and
they're partying all the time.
And, like, I would call them and be like, yeah, so we're going on vacation. Bye. And, like, we'd go for a week and be like, so what's going to happen? And I'm like, I don't know. You guys should probably figure that out.
I mean, it was cool while we had it, but
we were relieved of our duties.
But, yeah, we were kind of like the Jane and Michael
right.
of the Olive Tree apartment.
But I'm not a doctor. Jenny's not a fashion designer.
Oh, not by any stretch of the imagination. You guys don't want to know what I wear on a daily basis.
But I see, by sharing that story with you all, I see where Jane is coming from. It's like, not only is Michael the property manager, but in his absence, she just sort of assumes it, you know?
Yeah, so she's like, I'm fine, leave me alone. Joe tries to be like, I've been in this situation too. And Jane's like, really, Joe? This exact situation? I don't think you have. Okay, bye.
Right. Now we cut over to Billy's work. And he's on his computer working on what appears to be a haiku.
It's a poem.
About Allison.
Dan, can you please regale us with Billy's...
I would love to, but I don't know the words.
I thought you took a picture.
Oh, yeah. I did take a picture. I'm going to read it in my Billy impression. Allison, in my arms, asleep on my shoulder, endless night and dreading morning. Dreams that come true, that really do come true. That's the worst fucking poem I have ever recited. I could write a better poem in 15 seconds.
Do it.
Than that.
Write one about me.
I will not.
Dan, you just said you could.
I could write it. I can't just say it.
Oh, okay.
I'll write it.
Okay, cover blown.
Guys, for real, this poem is bad, and we all know it.
So Cameron, his work colleague, kind of taunts him about it. He comes up behind him. Oh, what are you doing? What are you writing?
No, like, he's like, well, if Hallmark is always hiring for if you want to have a backup plan. Like, Cameron, get the fuck out of here. If I worked with Cameron, I would have such a hard time not making
you
fun of him.
You would have a lot of, like, you would be reprimanded a lot of work.
Cameron, I want you to go fuck off, all right? Just get off my back. Stop looking at my Mac screen.
So,
my 6-inch Mac screen.
Cameron does.
Man, Cameron, get the fuck out of here before I throw some floppy disks at your ass.
So Billy is like, Cameron, what's taking you so long on the fact checking? And Cameron's like, well, Billy, everything you wrote is pretty much lies. And he's like, if we published any of that stuff, we would be sued because it's all incorrect. Where did you learn about journalism, Dateline?
Billy is like the opposite of the movie Liar Liar, where he can't tell the truth. He just can't tell the truth.
So at work, Billy has a special visitor.
Right.
And it's Amanda.
That's right. And he's just like, Amanda, what are you doing here? And she lays it on him.
She's got some big news, guys. I thought you should know, Billy, but I missed my period. I took an at-home test. It was positive. I need to get it confirmed with my doctor, but I think I'm pregnant.
Yeah, bombshell. And then here we are again. Choose your own adventure. Is Billy happy? Scared?
No idea.
Sad?
Guys, if you watch this episode, please look at Billy's face. Because the camera ends this scene with just his face, like, tight shot. And you really don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah. And I got a question. Let's break this down. When's the last time they had sex? Like, weeks?
I don't know.
It has to be at least a month.
To have missed, well, yeah.
They broke up a long time ago. And then she was trying to get him, she's trying to get him in bed all, like, for the last maybe 4 episodes. And they didn't do it.
It could have been 3 weeks.
And she's just now missing her period? This, guys, I don't think this kid is Billy's. We've always had some timeline questions here, but, and they're sort of explained by Amanda's dad later in the episode, but, I don't think this kid's Billy's. Yeah. I really don't.
Well, we'll see. So it's later that day. Billy is going home. Allison, of course, knows nothing about the pregnancy. She's still on cloud 9 because her and Billy connected in such a great way when they made love.
Yeah, and she made dinner. She's got wine. She's like, hey, baby, how you doing? What's happening? And Billy's just beside himself, like he can't even sit down.
Yeah, and so, of course, Allison's big news is the whole, like, deal with Michael and Jane about how Michael's moved out, and can you believe it? Everything's out in the open. And then Billy pretty much blurts out, Amanda stopped by work just as I was leaving today. And then Allison's like, oh, is that supposed to upset me? Look, I did not even flinch. I can't even believe she's still trying to get you. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, because she's done. I'm over it. She won. She thinks that she's won and it's over. But Amanda's got this final trump card.
And that's when Billy lays it on her. She's pregnant.
And it just takes the wind out of Allison's sails. And she says her famous line of, it's just not fair.
But it first starts with, oh, God.
Yeah, she just can't. She can't catch a break. She can't win. It's so finally, it's back to bad in the Allison Billy world.
Yeah. It was fun while it lasted.
S-
so we're over at the Mancini's apartment. Jane is there. The phone is ringing off the hook. She's there just crying. Then we cut over to Michael in the hotel room calling Jane. He actually decided to stay at a hotel as opposed to staying in like an ER room.
Right. He's got some empty beers near him, so he's got some beer muscles, and he's trying to call his wife, and shit's just not right. And knock, knock, knock. Kimberly's at the door. She's there for him.
Of the motel.
And he's basically like, look, my marriage is destroyed. I got to try to fix that. So you need to back up.
Yeah, if I want to save my marriage, I can't continue to see you. And Kimberly is not happy to hear this. And she's like, I thought I knew you, Michael. I thought that we were totally separate, that it was just me and you. And then what you had with Jane was different. And he's like, yeah, well, that is how it was until you both met together. You were like two trains that collided.
Yeah, until you... You know I'm in your house. You know I'm in your apartment taking a shower. Somebody knocks on your door. You don't look at the fucking eyepiece. I didn't even notice if it had a look through on the door. But like, come on, side chick. These are your responsibilities. Like, if I'm at your place, somebody knocks on the door, you don't open a door. Or you go into the bathroom first and you say...
And you're like, Michael, Jane's here.
Michael, Jane's here. Do not come out asking me for deodorant that doesn't smell like perfume.
So...
Come on, Kimberly. Like, you had a job to do. You had one job. So now he's like, I got to save my marriage. You're out. You are not a good side piece.
And then we see a little glimmer of future Michael. He just slams his hand down, looks at Kimberly and says... Kimberly, you are out of line.
Yeah.
And then that's when Kimberly says, no, I draw the line at groveling, Michael. I'm not going to be here crying and pleading for you to get you back. I'm done. And I think you're threatened by me because I'm your equal. And he says to her, well, it turns out you do know me, don't you? Yes. And you're a bastard.
You fucking bastard. Thomas Calabro is a great actor. I'm sorry. He's a good actor. He's great at being evil. And he's been great at being like the good happy-go-lucky guy. Very versatile. I like him too. And I know down the road he gets maniacal. And I just can't.
He gets crazy.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. These little like flashes of evil Michael are like, it like excites me. I'm fucking in, guys. I cannot wait to get there.
So it's the next day. We're back at Melrose Place, and Allison has left for work without saying goodbye to Billy. So she walks outside. She's going to her car. She sees that Michael is waiting in his car outside of Melrose Place, and she just inserts herself into the situation again by looking at Michael and being like, Michael, not a good idea.
Don't do it. This scene doesn't make sense. In no world is Allison this willing to help Michael, especially this early. She caught him. Then she got reamed out in the laundry room about it. And now she's just super willing to say, okay, like, I'll go talk to Jane for you.
Well, so that's what happens. Michael jumps out of his car and is like, Allison, I need your help. I made a big mistake and it's totally my fault. I need Jane back. She won't talk to me. You need to talk to her for me. You need to convince her that she needs to see me. I want my marriage back. And like Dan said, for whatever reason, Allison agrees to this. And she's like, fine, I'll try. Which is kind of like, what's her motivation? Why?
Yeah, I guess it's because she saw that, like, Jane is now struggling and now has to do the pool. And she didn't really put that together that, like, all of this will now fall on Jane.
Yeah. And maybe she feels partly responsible because she told Jane.
Right.
And now she wants to fix it.
So now we go to... There's always two good storylines and one that we don't care about. So this week it is Jake, Joe, and Karen. Like, who cares about this one? We're back. We're in Joe's apartment. And, like, this model, this scene basically sets up that this model is getting in the way of Jake and Joe. Right?
Or she wants a piece of Jake and Joe.
Well, yeah, she just wants in on it and is sort of like...
No, I got a lot of like lesbian undertones in this scene. So Karen is looking at photos in Joe's dark room and she's like, whoa, you make me look so good. And then Joe is like, well, Karen, it's not me that makes you look good. You're just so beautiful. And then Karen is like, well, you're not so bad yourself, Joe. And she takes Joe's camera and starts taking photos of Joe.
Joe can't handle it.
And it looks like, you know, you can tell that Karen has kind of like an attraction toward Joe. And there, she's like, I never get sick of you. I love being around you. And they kind of like, you know, they have a little flirty fight with the camera. And then she's like, you know what? Let's forget the entourage tonight. And how about me and you go out together? And Joe's like, oh, well, I told Jake that I'd go out to dinner with him. We'll bring him along. We'll three's a crowd. Let's go.
Yeah.
So, next scene, D&D, and Amanda confronts Allison. I assume Billy told you what's going on, and Allison is just like,
she don't want nothing.
I don't want to know. Why do you keep telling me this? And Amanda keeps trying to tell Allison, like, look, I did not plan this. I know this is really bad timing for you guys. I know you're just starting up this romance with Billy, and this was not intentional. This is not what I wanted either. And,
but, dude, come on. How can you not? How can Allison not think that this was the intention? To, like, the last-ditch effort. Of course. You know?
I get what you're saying, but if she's really pregnant, it's like, well.
She probably peed on like 50 sticks and one came up positive just so she could be like, oh, by the way, pregnant, and throw in a wedge and hopefully like fuck it up. And then she gets
it. I don't know if that's how that works.
Well, you know, they're not always positive.
From the last. Remember when Jane took that pregnancy test and it looked like a paint palette?
Oh yeah, it was like a trick.
Yeah.
It was like a in-depth test.
So, I don't know. But Billy shows up at D&D and of course, first Allison thinks that he's coming to visit her. In reality, he's going to pick up Amanda to take her to the doctor.
And he shows up beltless. With exposed loops. Guys, you should not be wearing pants or shorts with belt loops and not put a belt on it. Even if they fit. You can't run around with loops. With that, nothing on them.
That's Dan's fashion segment.
I think that's everyone's fashion segment. Well, no, if you have loops, you put a belt through
okay.
them.
Okay. Well, my question is, you know, Allison and Billy live together. Don't you think Billy could kind of give Allison a heads up? Hey, I'm coming to D&D to take Amanda to the doctor's today.
Well, I bet she probably talked to Billy and was like, I don't want anything to do with this. So then Billy gets that message and he's like, well, I guess I won't tell her that I'm going to the doctor with her.
Well, this is the beginning of the struggle. This is like it really establishes that push and pull for Billy. So we head on over to lunch with Jane and Allison, and Jane is kind of starting off by saying how she thinks that maybe she made the wrong decision on marrying Michael. They were so young and she didn't know him very well before he proposed. And then Allison pretty much just levels with her and is like, look, the reason I asked you out to lunch today is because Michael wanted me to. He wants to reconcile with you, and he wants to know if you'll meet him.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jane's already sort of stacked her deck of like, this is why he sucks, and this is why I'm out. And Allison just kind of comes out of left field and is sort of team Michael.
Yeah. But it works. Jane does agree to meet Michael, and it's later on that night. And they are walking down the street, kind of chatting about everything. And Michael's saying that he wants another chance, that he's sorry. And Jane is like, look, I want to see a marriage counselor. And perhaps, you know, this can help us. And he's like, I really need your forgiveness, Jane. And she's like,
I don't know if I can ever give you that. Even if you go to these meetings. And they meet on like a dark corner, like they're about to buy drugs.
No, they were going to go into a restaurant. And then Jane was like, no, let's just walk.
Let's just walk, you bastard.
So we head on over to Shooters. And Allison is there by her lonesome, drinking a martini. Billy joins her and says that he's been looking for her everywhere. And he confirms that after going to the doctor, Amanda is indeed pregnant.
Yep. Allison sitting at Shooters, licking olives very oddly. And she drops another hint towards a future storyline that you remembered about alcohol. She's like, my mother liked martinis.
Oh, no. I was saying, you know? She was like, oh, my mother loved drinking martinis for celebrations. They're really good, but I don't like the olives. The olives belong on pizza.
Olives are for pizza.
And it's like, okay, number one, that's all a flippin' martini is.
Yeah,
is vodka, vermouth, and olive juice. Yeah, if you don't like olives, get a lemon drop.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't drink martinis, sweetheart.
That might be a nod to another storyline, because I think Allison does develop a taste for the drink later on.
She likes the sauce. But Allison, you know, I thought she was wholesome. But she immediately starts pushing, like, you know, there are options. She can get an abortion. She can put it up for adoption. Like, this doesn't have to be, you know, this isn't the end all be all. And I agree. I agree with Allison. Like, why? You have to question Amanda's motives here, because why would Amanda, like, what we know about Amanda now is that she is very work-driven. She's a businesswoman. She takes no shit from anybody. And this child would get in the way of that. So, and if she's not with Billy, why would she want to keep it? Oh, yeah, to fuck over Allison.
I don't know. And then Billy does say, this is just a temporary problem.
Yeah.
Which I was like, actually, like, if she decides to keep the baby, not temporary, dude. That's you, the rest of your life.
Billy's been talking too much to Jake. Jake's like, oh, yeah, what? Yeah, there's
you're
a temporary.
You're going to sign her rights away. You're fine.
Yep.
So, Amanda is, God, drink! Allison is not very happy, and she's like, God, Billy, we were so close. And then she storms out of Shooters.
Then we go to Amanda and Billy walking, discussing the future. And Billy sort of hints at, well, maybe we can get an abortion. And she's like, oh, that is just not in the cards, brother. Which surprised me.
Not aborting, no adoption. I'm having this baby. And then Billy's like, this is my baby, right?
Yeah, he just comes out with it. It's like, you sure this is mine? Because we fucked on like the first day. So who else has been doing this with you?
So basically, we leave it at, like, she's like, look, I'm not asking you for anything, Billy. I am going to have this baby. My dad's coming down to go on the boat tonight. I'm planning on telling him tonight. And it's like, whoa, pump your brakes, man. You just found out you were pregnant yesterday.
Yeah, let that thing develop a little bit.
Yeah, it's very early on. Things can happen.
And she gives Billy an out. She's like, I can do this myself, motherfucker. So if you want to bounce, go ahead. Bounce. Like, be gone.
You're off the hook. You can get on with your life and your romance with Allison.
And she does all of this in a turtleneck sweater with the shoulders.
Shoulder pad.
Cut out.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Cold shoulders.
Yeah. She's got the...
Hey.
The shoulder-free T-neck. as I like to call it.
Oh, I'm sure you reference it quite often.
Yep. So now we're at the marriage counselors with Jane and Michael. Marriage counselor played by Leslie Wing. She's best known for being in all three High School Musicals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It comes across as like this is the beginning of the meeting of the session, but like they say like two things, and then the counselor's like, "Great, that's a good place to stop. I'm gonna recommend 2 times a week."
Yeah. So it seems that Jane is really into this, and they're walking out, and Michael's like, "Whoa, 2 times a week? A long way to drive. 2 times a week?" And she's like, "Look, Michael, if you don't want to do this, I'm not going to make you." And he's like, no, I'll do anything. I'll do anything, Jane.
I'll do it, Jane. I'll do it.
And then she's like, okay, Michael, I will let you move back in, but only on the couch. And if I feel uncomfortable at all, you have to leave.
Yep.
So just like that, coming on back.
Yeah, Michael is back in the house, and I don't know why.
So, well, I really had a feeling that he was going to weasel his way back in.
He always does.
He always does. So, Allison is at Joe's apartment, and she's kind of filling her in on the situation with Billy and saying, like, just complaining that they were so close, and everything was there, and she took the plunge, and she showed her cards to Billy, and everything was wonderful, and now this whole pregnancy is just ruining everything.
And Allison is a dumper on Joe. Like, I think Joe only reveals things to Allison, what, maybe like twice since she's been on the show? And the rest of the time, it's Allison just like, you know, spewing out her problems to Joe. And it ain't fair.
Yeah, well, Joe tries to be like, well, let's just, this doesn't have to be like the end of your relationship. Think of it like a pop quiz and this is just 10% of it. I don't know. My comparisons to things are pretty off. I'm going on a date with Jake. Bye.
And doesn't she say, like, you're in love with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, of course. I think that's already been established.
Yeah.
But so she walks out of Joe's place, and she sees Billy walk out of their place, and he's dressed like fucking Ace Ventura. Like, what are you doing? Someone asked me on one of our social medias, like, exactly what is... Oh, it was Shayna. Shayna from You Don't Know Ish. She's like, what exactly is dressing like a jerk? And I'm like, this. This Billy in this episode is dressed like a jerk. Like Ace Ventura.
Okay. And he's walking out as Allison's going back to their apartment. And she's like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, just going out for a while. And she says, well, what's going on with Amanda? And he says, I'm working on it. And he turns around and just walks away.
Yeah, you're not handling this well, Billy.
No!
For someone who is committed to Allison, you sure are very submissive to Amanda's requests.
Yeah. So, it's later that night. We're at the club with Karen, Jake, and Joe. And it is just... it is lit.
Out at the club. They at the club.
And they are just cutting a rug.
And
they're partying.
I swear, this music that's playing is the same music from another club.
When Jane lost her wedding ring.
I'm pretty sure. I remember it. And it's so terrible. Like, they have to do it, but the music is so low so that you can hear the dialogue between Jake and Joe. But it's too low to where you know, like, there's no music on when they're recording this.
Yeah.
And it's just overlay.
So Karen is doing this very strange spin move. I don't know how this would fly.
Oh, I liked it.
Like, it was like this spinning around the dance floor. And she's like, come on, Jake, dance with me. And Joe encourages Jake, no, go ahead, go dance with her. So yeah. They kind of get like lost in the crowd. And then Karen takes Jake and like pushes him up against a wall. and starts just kissing him.
And Jake
kisses her back.
He kisses back hard. Jake don't know no kiss back.
Yeah, it's a he couple seconds. Back. And then I think he takes her hair pulls her by the hair get her off of him.
I thought he put her his arm on her back of her head to like get in there more.
No, he pulls her by the hair to get her out of his mouth. And she's like, "What? Joe won't mind." And then he was like, "Yeah, well maybe I do."
Yeah, and then he like walks away and he's like, "Hey Joe, come on, let's ditch this bitch. Let's leave her." And Joe's like, "I can't leave her. She's hammered." He's like, "Eh, who cares?
We'll call her a cab.
Yeah, we'll call her a cab. Let's go."
And they decide that Joe is going to stay with Karen and Jake is going to go home. So the girls stay, Jake leaves.
And Karen is fucked up. Like, real fucked up.
Yeah, she's had one too many. So we are at Amanda's apartment. Amanda's dad is in town. And then there's a knock at the door and it's Billy. He's there. I don't know why. But he's like, "Hey, did you tell your dad yet?" And she's like, "No, I was just about to." And he's like, "Don't tell him yet. I want to know where I stand." Which I thought that was weird. So what does that mean? Where does he stand with who?
Well, I think he means like, I want to know what the plan is first. Like, if I'm going to be with Allison or if I'm in it with you the whole way, like, I want to know where I stand with that. And this is where the timeline gets screwy because Amanda's dad is like, "Hey, Billy, you're still around? What's it been? 2 months?
2-3 months?"
But yeah, then you gotta think, long time.
He met Billy like the day they decided that they were a couple and he was moving in.
And that's probably the day this child was conceived.
She only, if it was 2-3 months, she, no.
That like work she, either. he like went on one date with her. They went to the dad's campground or whatever. Then they had one date and they did it.
I love how you say they did it.
They did it, guys. They had one date and then they made love. And then they made love in the morning after that.
Just when you say it, it makes my skin crawl.
And then Billy ate a bowl of cereal.
I think we all remember it, like the events that had happened, but I don't know. Maybe it's, I think from the time that they started dating, it's been 3 months. And they probably were together for maybe like a month. Month and a half. I stand by that.
Okay.
So, Amanda acquiesces to Billy's request that she's not going to tell her dad that night.
Right. Now, we're back to the club. Karen is like talking to, because Jake leaves. Jake's like, "Fine, I'm out." So, Karen and Joe are like talking. And Karen is getting way more and more like sexual with Joe.
Right. She's like, "Joe, our friendship is the beginning of your new life." And then Joe's like, "No, I mean, this is the beginning of my new life. Like, I just moved out here a few months ago and I'm kind of just like taking it as it comes." And she's like, "No, Joe, you're an artist. You have to be open to things. I mean, how do you think I've succeeded?" And then Joe's like, "I think you've succeeded because you're incredibly beautiful." And Karen takes that as kind of like a come on. And she's like, "Oh, Joe." And she goes to kiss her. And Joe turns away. And she's
Joe's like, "I'm good."
And she's like, "Karen, I'm flattered. Really, I am. But, you know, this is not what I want." And Karen's like, "Well, how do you know? You never tried it before."
And Joe says, "Oh, I know.
I just know.
I just know. I'm good."
So she was like, "Why don't I just get us some coffees?" And then I would think Karen might be a little bit more rejected here, but she seems fine with it. She's like, "Okay, whatever you want."
It's like, "Huh, whatever." And then it appears that she's going to sleep on that couch at the club.
She's pretty drunk. So we're back at Allison and Billy's apartment, and Allison's been waiting up for Billy, and he comes in, and Allison is pretty upset.
Yeah, she's not feeling it. It appears that she's mad because she gave it up. She had sex with this guy, and she jumped the gun because now they're in this, like, terrible situation.
Well, Allison is like, why didn't you tell me that you went to her apartment? Like, why aren't you telling me these things? And you feel obligated to her, fine, whatever. But what about me? From the beginning of this whole situation that we found out that she's pregnant, you never once asked me how I feel about everything. And she goes into this whole monologue, very tearful, which no laughing this time. I think it was very evident that she was crying.
Oh, yeah. She got her emotions straightened out. Yeah,
she was good. And she was like, I risk everything for you. We have a real connection, one that is difficult to find in this town, in this world. And now it's just, like, been totally squashed. And I just feel like you have no regard for my feelings, and I feel like I'm being pushed out. And then Billy is like, look, Allison, I'm not going to lose you. And then cue the melodramatic line.
You already have. Boom. Billy, you're done. You're done here, bruh.
So we're now back at the
Mancini's.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry. We're at the Mancini's. Jane is looking hot as hell in this little, like, mariachi, like, Chiquita banana shirt. And she's packing, like, a lovely picnic. Like, a really lovely picnic.
But just for her.
For herself to go to the beach. She's
not planning on asking Michael to go. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm going to go to the beach. And he's like, oh, Jane, that sounds nice. I would really like to go. And she just kind of gives him a look. She's like, it's still weird for me.
Like, I'm going by myself.
Yeah, it's weird you're here. So I'm going to go to the beach. She's like, okay, that's fine. Beep, beep, beep.
It's the pager. And of course, the moment the pager goes off, Jane gets that suspicious look. Michael goes over to the phone, calls. It's confirmed the hospital needs him. He needs to go in. And he senses that Jane is not believing him.
And he can't believe it. He's like, what the hell, Jane? Do you want to call the hospital? Go ahead, call him. And he's like, I can't believe you don't believe me. He's like, what?
You've been living there for one day. Like, all of this has happened in, like, probably the last week.
Yeah, and he's already like, come on, Jane, you got to trust me. You gotta trust me.
Already. And she's just like, Michael, I didn't do anything wrong. I am just trying to get back to, like, regular life. And yeah, I am gonna be suspicious of you. So he kind of storms out. You can tell that he's kind of, and I'm wondering, what is his motivation for wanting to get back with Jane? Like,
it's just what he knows. I'm sure there is a part of him that is like, man, I screwed up. I got to make it up to Jane. But, and then, I don't know, just like the perception of him.
That he failed at his marriage?
Right. Like, you know, he wants to be a respected doctor, and he had a good wife and situation, and he just kind of wants that back. He probably never thought that, like, she would ever find out, and...
Well, maybe you're right.
You know?
And he storms out of the apartment, but not before saying, I'm trying here, Jane. You need to make an effort, too. What?
Damn, Michael. The balls on this guy.
He's insane.
Check out the big balls on Michael.
He is insane. So before this scene, we actually skipped just a little one where Jake and Billy are on the street and they're talking about Amanda being pregnant, and basically Billy has gone to Jake for advice.
Bad move.
Because, and Jake even, like, called him out, like, so you're talking to me because I have a kid, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, actually I am. And Jake says, look, Billy, you know, I didn't have a choice. I didn't know I had a kid. But you do now. And if you decide that you don't want to be in this kid's life now,
that's it.
you're done.
There's one person on this show who you should not take baby advice from. And it's Jake Hansen. That guy should not be allowed to give baby advice. Because he signed his away.
He did. It's like, why? It's
messed up, Jakey Poo. Bad look.
So I think it just really sets up the idea that's been planted into Billy's head that, hey, this is a really big life decision, and it's not one that is going to be made lightly, and he has to really consider all of the options before he decides how he wants to proceed with Amanda.
So now we skip forward. Michael goes into the hospital. He's needed. He's getting reprimanded. He's like, what the hell took so long, Mancini? And he's just like, whatever, where do I go? And the doctor sends him on his way to assist Kimberly, who he hasn't seen since she called him a bastard. And Kimberly's over there making like the worst cast I've ever seen.
Yeah, somebody broke their arm, and I don't, she's doing like paper mache on them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about the makeup people of Melrose Place, but if someone's working hard, they feel like they have to take whatever materials they're working with and put it all over their face.
Put it on her face, too.
Like, yeah. That's the hallmark of somebody that's working hard.
Like Amanda's grease.
Yeah.
I mean, Allison's grease.
With a drink.
Drink.
When Allison's working on the car, it's like, put some grease on her face. Or when they were painting, I think they put paint on Perry's face. It's like, okay, we get it. She's working hard trying to get this cast done.
Get some paint on her face. Get some cast on her face.
He goes in to assist Dr. Shaw as she's done.
And this, not only is this guy getting a cast, but he has blood all over him. He's got a lot more work after this cast, which they should have probably dressed the wounds, the open wounds he's already exhibiting on the uncasted arm before you put the other cast on, fix the other arm. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, well, but we'll leave it to Michael and Kimberly. Yeah,
this looked like wet toilet paper all over an arm.
So you can tell that they're kind of like silently, they have this exchange where they're like making up, and he sees, you know, the white plaster all over her face and wipes it away, and they have this little exchange, and she's like, I missed you, Mancini.
And he gives her a look like, I missed you too, and I'm ready to kick this back on.
Been like seriously one day.
It's like, I'm ready to flick this switch. You ready to be my side chick again? Still want to go to Aspen? Oh yeah.
So we're back to Melrose Place, and there's a dude with a leaf blower.
Yeah, Mr. K has hired some extra hands.
And this was weird. Allison is gathering all the laundry, and she's doing Billy's laundry.
Stupid.
Since when has this been a thing?
Since she gave her cookies.
Has she always done Billy's laundry?
It's a thing. Once you give up the cookies, you gotta wash the clothes.
Well, you
it's a Melrose rule.
Okay.
Not in real life. Only on Melrose Place.
So, in picking up a pair of his jeans, a piece of paper slips out.
And why?
What is it, guys? It's a printout version of the poem that Billy had written earlier in the episode for Allison.
Sleeping in my arms. I don't want to wake up.
Allison, dreams come true.
Dreams do come true.
And Allison reads it and is like immediately smitten.
It melts her heart.
Yeah. She's like, aww. So you can tell.
I guess with Billy, like, he set the bar so low. That virtually anything that he does that resembles sweet and thoughtful is like, wow, he really cares.
So, very next scene, however, Billy is running to the marina where Amanda and her father are getting ready to embark on this boat trip. And Amanda's just about to get on the boat, and her dad's at the wheel, like, at the helm of the ship, like, Amanda, get on the boat!
He's the patience of a five-year-old.
Why are they in such a hurry?
Hey, come on, we gotta go! And hey, is he coming or not?
And so Billy is like, Amanda, I just want you to know that I feel responsible, and I'm going to be there for you all the way through this. I can't promise anything more, but I'm just gonna be there for you. And she is so happy to hear these words.
Yeah, she gives him a big old hug, and it's like, she won.
And she's like, Billy, come on, let's go, jump on the boat. And then Amanda gets on, Billy walks toward the boat, and then Amanda's dad starts driving the boat out to sea, and they're going past the dock, going, going, going. Billy's walking with the boat, and you don't know, like, okay, is he going to jump on? Is he not going to jump on? And he stops just short of the pier, and then the boat sails away with Amanda looking on at Billy, knowing that she has him in some kind of a capacity, but because Billy didn't jump on the boat, I think that was symbolic in some way to be like, you don't have my whole heart.
You don't have all of me, bitch.
And that is the end of the episode.
So, let's recap this mofo. Amanda is knocked up.
And Allison ends things with Billy.
Jane is giving Michael another shot.
Karen wants Jake and Joe.
And Matt and Rhonda, still dead.
Yeah, not around. We don't know what the heck's going on with them.
90s moments.
Okay, I think the pixelated screen at Billy's work while he was writing that poem.
That's a great one. The term made love.
Oh, God.
That's a 90s thing.
Yeah, I think it is, too. The Dateline reference. I know Dateline is still alive and well, but I think the 90s, like, that was Dateline's heyday.
Karen's granny panties when she jumped into the pool.
They're the high cut, like the bikini high cuts.
Yeah. Amanda's shoulder-free turtleneck.
Oh, those are making a resurgence.
The club music at the club is very 90s techno. Because every time we touch, I get this feeling. I wish I could fly. But
I need you in my life. I wish it was that song.
Yeah. What's the lesson?
My lesson is wear a condom, guys. And this could go
for the lesson for a few.
Yeah, this could go for a lot of different ways. I mean, obviously, if Billy wore a condom with Amanda, they might not be in this predicament. And then, even when you're cheating, protect your spouse, you know?
When they did it, didn't she say, like, do you have protection? I feel like she did.
No, remember, that was Allison with Keith, when she was like, oh, wait a minute, Keith, do you have protection?
Like, she was like, have you been tested? She said, I want to see the results. Fuck the condom. Tell me if you got it or not.
So, yeah, I say wear a condom. That can, you know, you protect yourself, you protect your loved ones.
My lesson is don't have sex on the first date. If you didn't have sex with Amanda on the first date, it wouldn't have gone this fast, and you wouldn't have a little baby in there. And if Allison didn't have sex with you on the basically first date, she wouldn't be this connected to you.
Yeah.
So she could just ball out.
Yeah. So, next segment. Bitch of the week!
I'm a boss ass bitch. Bitch. Jenny, I'm a boss ass bitch. Nominated Michael for Bitch of the Week. I nominated Kimberly. And for the first time ever, with 100% of the vote, Jenny, you won.
Oh, what up?
Michael's the bitch of the week.
Why, and you said that no one would agree with me.
Yeah, I thought I had a read on our fans. They usually don't care about infidelity.
But you know what? I think it's my passionate arguments.
Probably. I guess so. Good job. You win again.
Oh, I thank you. Well, I think it was pretty evident he was the bitch of last week.
Yeah. This week, though.
Who do you think?
I'm going to go with Amanda Woodward.
Oh!
The bitch of the week. You know why, guys? Here's why. Amanda, this is a last-ditch trap move effort. And trapping people is never a good look. It's a bitch move. That is not a cool thing to do. You know that the only way to stop this budding love that Billy and Allison have for each other is to throw a baby in there. I bet you might even be making it up. It's probably not even Billy's because the timeline, I'm telling you, does not work. It doesn't work out. You say, then, all right, at the office, she goes into this whole in-depth thing talking to Allison like, hey, you know what? Did Billy call? Is Billy going to call me back? She could have said it right there. Like, I have a health issue that I need to talk to Billy about. Can you please tell him to call me? No, she didn't say that. She just left it. She left it so that it could be a big bomb from Billy, from the mouth of Billy, which she knew would hurt her more. Then she could have told her, she was like, in the next scene at D&D, she looks at Amanda and she, at Allison and Drink, she looks at Allison and she says, I felt it was my responsibility to tell you. But she didn't think it was her responsibility to tell her that in 2 seconds, Billy's going to walk through the door and we're going to go to the hospital? No. Well, to the doctors? No. That's a very bitchy thing to do, too. Because you knew that would hurt Allison, seeing Billy not knowing that they're going to the to the doctor together. It's fucked up. You're a bitch, Amanda.
Really good, valid points you bring.
Dropping that mic.
But you know what? I disagree. I think the bitch of this episode is Karen. And why do I think that? Okay, well, let's break it down. So, firstly, Karen and Joe enter Melrose Place, and she notices that there's a pool. And I think Karen is the type of person that just is starved for attention, and she wants it all the time. So she strips down to her skivvies just in time for Jake to open the door and see her standing in bra and underwear. Now, Jake does not make any attempt to hide his little wandering eye, but Karen is eating this up. She loves it. She loves the attention. She knows that Jake is wanting her. She knows that Jake is looking at her. And then she keeps egging it on. She knows that Jake and Joe have a really solid relationship, but it seems like she wants to get in between them. She wants to blow it up. So she's trying to sabotage them any way she can from both angles, whether it be trying to get Joe to cheat or trying to get Jake to cheat. They go to the club. She takes Jake and covertly starts making out with him. You know Joe's not going to approve of this, but she does it anyway. And then when Jake leaves, she tries to do the same freaking thing to Joe. I really am convinced Karen is the major bitch because she is trying to bust up a perfectly good relationship because she has a lot of problems in her own life. So I have to say, Karen, bitch of the week.
And she wasted a ton of Joe's film. Snapping pics of her.
See, just one fucking more thing, bitch. Guys. Bitch.
Guys, I have a confession. Every Tuesday, I release this podcast, and then it takes me about an hour to remember, oh yeah, I gotta post Bitch of the Week. So, listen to the podcast, wait like an hour, then go to our Twitter and vote for Bitch of the Week. Is it Karen or is it Amanda?
So, this episode, number 31, was named State of Need. Now, Dan, if you could rename it, what would you choose?
Trap game.
Oh.
Amanda's running a trap on Billy. And Kimberly's running a trap on Michael.
I like it.
Trap game.
Trap game. And we're not talking about the new hip-hop craze. Okay, so if I had to rename it, I would call it The Ship Has Sailed.
Ooh. You've really stepped up your renames.
Thank you. I did go through a rut for a little bit, but I'm really trying to get the creative juices flowing. And I think we all kind of like, it's, we saw it at the end of the episode. The ship did sail away. But really, if you think about it, she's pregnant, it's done. And the ship with the relationship that could have been with Allison is basically gone.
Yeah. Great job.
Thanks, man. Great job to you, too.
Thank you.
Well, what are some our predictions for upcoming episodes? What do you think?
Okay, I predict, Amanda, you're losing that baby. Don't remember that baby later. Jane and Michael, I don't think that works out. I think he is right back in the saddle with Kimberly, gets caught again, and maybe that's the finale. And I think that Allison is just going to go batshit insane over this baby thing. Like, can you imagine, like, Amanda coming into work post, like, framing up? It's like a picture war in there. Like, there's going to be, like, sonograms. Yeah, and like, oh, sorry. I know you don't want to hear about this, but he's kicking. Or, like, me and Billy have to go. We're picking out cribs today, and Allison's just, like, losing her hair, like, in The Craft. That girl just sitting in the shower, just crying, losing her hair, because she's just like, I don't know, I'm fucking going on. I think Allison's just going to go fucking nuts.
I like it.
And I predict we'll see Rhonda and Terrence next week.
Maybe.
And just a side note, if Amanda really wants to have a good relationship, she should get with Terrence. They're a lot alike.
No, you're right.
Just throwing that out there. Amanda, baby.
Come here. I want you to have whatever you want.
Well, I already have whatever I want, so thank you.
Okay, well, let's go buy another mansion.
Come on, Rhonda. Decide what our house will look like.
Well, those are good predictions. I forecast that Karen talks Jake and Joe into a threesome.
Ooh.
I think she's going to get them to do it, but then it's going to blow up everything. There's going to be jealousy, and then their entire relationship is going to go sour.
Or Karen has AIDS.
We've already done the AIDS thing. We've already done it. So I think that Michael, of course, is going to go back to Kimberly and two-time Jane again. It's going to be more of the same. I think that Billy is going to start catching feelings for Amanda because she is carrying his baby and he's a sensitive kind of a person. So I think that that's really going to boost his feelings for Amanda. But now that Allison has read the poem, I think that's kind of rekindled. Oh my gosh, me and Billy could have something. So I think it's going to be, again, more of the same. Lots of love triangles. But I am holding out hope that maybe next episode, Terrence and Rhonda do decide to get married on the pool at Melrose Place. please get married there.
Only one way to find out. You either listen to this podcast or you watch episode 32. So email us, melrosepod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Happy to connect at melrosepod. You can help us grow this podcast and support it through Patreon. That's patreon.com/MelrosePod. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love reading those reviews. We'll read whatever, even if it's bad. We love it if it's good.
And we love you guys.
And we love you so, so much.
Thanks for listening.